Now, when you were doing this and you said it scared you, did you ever think, I'm going to quit this? I don't want anything to do with this.
I think that quite often still.
Really? Are you afraid?
I don't think I'm afraid. I think I'm very cautious, and I always err on the side of caution. What I always say, George, is we don't know what we don't know. And that's the scary part. We're wading into dark territory sometimes. We're going into these cases sometimes very blind, and that's a tough thing to do. It's uncharted territory.
We're going to spend a lot of time talking with you about negative ghosts and entities, but explain to us, Chip, when you get on the scene of a haunted area, whether it's a house or wherever it may be, what do you do? Do you set up equipment? What is the stages of your investigation?
Typically, the first stage that I do as an investigator is I do what I call a pre-investigation questionnaire. And I ask a lot of very detailed questions of the people that are experiencing the purported haunting. Personal family questions, what the activity is that's going on. And some of the questions are very deep, such as, is anyone in the house undergoing psychiatric care or taking medication? Is there alcoholism or a lot of alcohol use? Is there drug use in the house? What are the family dynamics that are going on in the house? Is there dysfunction going on within the family environment? Then you rule out what can possibly be physical sources for the phenomenon before you even begin to go looking for paranormal. But you also ask, tell me what the activity is. Is there a specific time that the activity ramps up? You look at the environment that's around the house. Is it near certain things like running sources of water? Is it near electrical sources? Is it near a cell tower? There's a lot of things that I try to do before I ever go on site. Then what I try to do is do what I call a walkthrough. I generally take a few people, a couple of sensitives, and people who also have abilities with studying demonology, a demonologist or an exorcist. Typically, I have one of those on what I call my dream team here in Atlanta.
Right.
And I also take a technician who can look at the house in case we're going to come back for step three, and that's a full-blown investigation with all the equipment and bells and whistles.
Okay, so once you're doing all this, how long does it take to conduct a real thorough investigation?
That can vary, and I'll tell you it usually depends on what the schedule of the investigators are, because since we really aren't making a living doing the investigative part of it,
mm-hmm.
many of the people have real, honest, full-time jobs, and
yeah.
so we have to work around them. We also have to work around the families and what their needs are, because the basic thing is to go in and help and accommodate the family. So I would say it can be anywhere from 2 to 3 days to 2 to 3 weeks before you're in doing a full-blown investigation, depending on what the circumstances are.
Okay.
We try to do it fairly quickly because we know the family typically is in need, and we try to accommodate those needs.
All right, the family assumes the place is haunted. You do your investigation. You probably tell them it's haunted. Then what happens?
That's the tough call. You try to. I always ask families, are you just wanting to verify the fact that you've got a ghost in your house because it's cool? And some families just want that. They want to know that they've got a ghost there and they're not crazy and they think it's cool to have the ghost. I ask families, are you terrified? Do you feel a malevolent presence? Is there anything going on that really is disturbing or distressing to you? And if the answer is yes, then the situation becomes more serious. Of course, if they're having activity with things flying around or someone's getting physically injured, then that's a serious circumstance.
Okay, so do they decide at that point, we're going to move? Do you rid the house of the ghost, or do you have to get somebody else to do that and cleanse the place?
I will tell you that one of the things that I have begun to err on the side of caution with is when I go into a home as a psychic or a sensitive, a lot of the cases, for some reason lately, and I'm still trying to fathom out why that's happening, a lot of the cases I've been going on recently have involved negative or non-human or demonic entities. And now, because of that, almost every investigation that I go on, I'm taking a demonologist or an exorcist with me. Andrew Calder is someone that's local here, so I rely on Andrew, who is an Episcopal priest and is a sanctioned demonologist within his diocese. I try to take Andrew on most of the investigations I go on. And one of the things that I've learned is that as a psychic, I can't go in wide open like I used to do. I have to sort of take little snapshots when I go in as a psychic or a medium because I don't want to go under any sort of attack or be influenced negatively by anything that I may encounter in a haunted environment.
Could you be possessed, taken over?
Absolutely.
Well, see, you don't want that to happen.
No, that scares me. That scares me very much, which is the reason that if you saw me in person, you would know that I've got a lot of blessed religious medals around my neck. I go in with holy water. I go in with a blessed cross. And typically, I go in with people that I feel are backing me up. I spoke about my dream team. Here in Atlanta, I'm really not a member of any one paranormal organization, but I work a lot with Andrew Calder. I mentioned him as an exorcist, and with Michelle Babiars with the Psi Network here. She and her group are a very reputable group, and Tim Naylor and his group from Historic Ghost Watch. Those are my dream team people here in Atlanta. We kind of serve as wingmen for each other. We go in and we know that we've got each other's backs, and we try to do the best job that we possibly can on helping the family. But at the same time, we have to have a real cohesive unit as a group of investigators so that we feel that comfort zone when we go into a place.
Who, if you had to take just one person, what kind of person would it be?
If I had to take one person in with me to a, to an investigation site?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough call, but I'd have to say at this point in time, because of the cases I've been working lately, I'd take a demonologist in with
you
me.
You would. Okay, when we come back, Chip, let's talk a little bit about the demonologist and that person's specific role. Also, you sent us a picture we've got posted on our coasttocoastam.com website that Patty sent in. There does seem to be some kind of object looking through a window there, Chip.
Actually, there was a lot of noise going on at the same time while we were sitting there. I believe that photograph was taken at the University of Vermont when we were up there doing an investigation at the school, and it was a pretty spooky night.